right, guys. Welcome back to the 69th episode of the 443 podcast. Sorry, guys. Reese is the oldest young man in the universe, and he still finds 69 funny.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another special episode. We got a lot of games to review, and we also have a lot of games to preview as we have Boxing Day upon us. Go ahead.
All right. I was just going to say, like, we're probably going to record the ones on Boxing Day on the weekend so we can preview the ones after that.
Exactly. Yep. But we'll definitely get you guys, keep you posted on that end. Matt, with a lot of games we got to cover, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Do you want to just jump in right to the beginning of the weekend and run through it?
Arsenal Everton?
Let's do it. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. No.
No.
No, it's my bad.
Let's start here. Aston Villa at home.
Yeah, yeah. I had the wrong week up. My bad.
You're good. Aston Villa at home defeating Manchester City 2-1. Matt, City continues to fall. What were your thoughts on this game?
I'm starting to get confused with Man City. I feel like they're a team that maybe they know they're getting relegated and they just gave up.
That's not a bad idea. That might not be a bad theory, you know.
Well, the trial's done. We just don't know the results yet.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I think these players have run their course with this team. Most of them, De Bruyne, you know.
MLS bound De Bruyne, apparently.
Possibly, yes. I think Kyle Walker, you know.
It's just Saudi bound Kyle Walker.
I'm sorry,
guys. There's no rumors on that. I was just making a joke because Kyle Walker seems like a guy who's a guy who really likes money. He doesn't seem like a guy who would end up playing for Wigan when his career's on the down.
Yeah. Here's the thing: is they bought Doku, you know, in the summer, and I'm sitting here thinking like this guy will really add some jazz to this team. And
wasn't Doku 2 summers ago?
Maybe 2 summers ago.
Because they got brought in this summer, the guy from Girona.
Savio. But, and him too. Like, I felt like these were new additions to sort of inspire this team who's won 4 in a row to keep them into that sort of title race. But, Matt, I think this run, the form, the legs, and Pep kind of said this as well, is when you have a Euros tournament and you bring Rodriguez to play a month later in a Premier League game, every player in the world right now is flooded with overplaying. And when you win 4 leagues in a row, you go deep in the Champions League every year.
Well, look what's happening to Spurs. Look what's happening to Arsenal. I mean, I just don't know how, because I think Liverpool, Mo Salah didn't play in the Euros.
Yeah, because he would be...
Africa Cup of Nations.
Yeah, and that's in the winter time frame. But what I'm getting at, Matt, is I think people need to realize it's hard to win the league title for one, and two, it's hard to do it 4 times in a row. And to have that expectation on you that you're just going to go in and win it every year, your fans, you as a player may even think, dude, we're going to walk the league again because Pep is good. I got De Bruyne with me. I have a freaking Megatron dude up front who's not staying humble. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, I think this team's just run its course. And I think maybe it's time if, depending on what charges happen, you know, I think they keep Pep regardless. I don't think Pep is the issue. But I think it's time to nuke the squad and look at a rebuild to build for the future and maybe set aside 2 years of not winning silverware to rebuild something long term.
So I know we're trying to get through this quick, but one last thing. So I could not believe that they did this again. I'm just glad it didn't end up 2-1. Yeah. Emmy's celebration kind of made me sad because I hate when that man celebrates. But one thing I wanted to go over, we'll get into some news later that happened with a major injury. So I started looking at transfer targets for the teams. And this is just rumor, like tabloid rubbish, but City is rumored to bring in 4 players. The rumor is of 4 players. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing, guys. January, there's a lot of expectations from fans about huge purchases. Clubs never really fulfill that.
I was joking around with you about Gyökeres. I think we'll pick up a barely Premier League rated ringer if we're Arsenal, but
just quickly on Villa, it was a good performance. I feel like City is just really predictable right now with the way they're playing, so they exploited that weakness perfectly, and it was a good performance from Rodgers.
Rodgers. At least Phil Foden got a goal.
Welcome back, Phil Foden, your angry cat meme.
He is.
Into the next game here, guys. We have Brentford at home losing to Nottingham Forest 2-0. Matt, Santos train, the forest train, the forest trees, they continue to roll on. What were your thoughts on this game?
I was surprised. Did Chris Wood play? I didn't get to watch this one.
He did not play. Or he did play, but he got subbed off.
Oh.
But it was weird to not see him get on the score sheet, which I think is what you were getting at. Is that correct?
Because there was a bunch of games played at the same time.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to, I could have sworn I saw his name on the team sheet when they flashed it on NBC.
Yeah, he did start. But a lot of the play from Forest, and I think that's maybe a weakness that they have exploited with Brentford, it felt like 90% of the opportunities, the chances created, all came from the left side of the field. So I don't know if there was some sort of weakness or something with Brentford, but that right...
I think it was just a riddle with yellow cards on that side.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I think... You know, with when you're creating opportunities,
me and Damigard got reds. Yellows and Wiesa.
So they just had to play with more caution, pretty much. Once those were okay, gotcha.
Because let's see when the yellow card. Yeah, I bet that's in correlation with it
for sure. But yeah, this was a solid performance from Forest. I'm interested to see how they continue to change their game plan, the way they play on a game by game basis, because they pretty much let Brentford have the ball this game and they were looking to exploit the counter, and they basically changed the way they play against whoever their opposition is.
Well, sometimes like teams, like you kind of have to do against Brentford because they're one of the teams that comes out and plays.
Yeah. And if you let Brentford counterattack on you, they are deadly. Credit to Forest. Into the next game here. Mama Lloyd, please close your ears to this. We have Newcastle walking into Ipswich Town and beating the dog piss out of them. 4-0 with Isaac scoring a hat trick along with a goal that was inside the first minute. Matt, what were your thoughts on this? What was Mama Lloyd's thoughts on this?
I wasn't able to watch this game. I just got a deluge of texts from my dad. And then after this game, my mom didn't know who they played next.
She didn't even want to look. Or
no. What? Well, here's the thing: they play Arsenal next on Friday,
and they play Chelsea after that. So,
oh,
not the best end to the year for the Ipswich faithful.
This is painful, man. Maybe I wonder if they can just negotiate. They don't have to play if they just lose.
Just pre-forfeit. Yeah, just
pre-forfeit. We'll just like, hey,
pick it up next.
Chelsea,
year.
Arsenal. We'll just start again in the new year. You guys just. We'll give you the 3 points and 2-goal differential. Just please don't pummel us.
What I will say is though. Ipswich do seem to get up for it for big games, so I can see maybe them giving Chelsea a challenge. I don't think with an experienced side like Arsenal, I think you guys will run through them, but...
Especially if they throw Martinelli on the right to make up for Saka, that could be brutal.
Exactly. So, but this was all about Newcastle. Isaac was sensational. It's going to be hard to get him away from Newcastle unless there is some FFP behind the scenes for Newcastle, which... Forgot to tell you about. Maybe I did send it to you.
You sent me something. I didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah, so basically there was a lot of unpaid wages to agents, which Newcastle were supposed to pay along with their transfer fees to players, and a percentage of that goes to the agents. That's not on the players' portion to do it. And there was several agents, I guess, who did not get paid from Newcastle for those payments to the transfers or whatever happened. So there may be something going on behind the scenes that we'll have to keep an eye on, but... I have been seeing Arsenal fans looking to bring in a guy like Isaac. Matt, are you on the Isaac train too?
I prefer Isaac over Gyökeres, if I'm going to be honest. But if Isaac's not for sale, here's the thing. Gyökeres, you pay him $100 million, you just get him. It's a transfer. It's a release clause.
Yeah.
With the Isaac, you have to negotiate with the club.
Yeah, and I think in a January window, that's going to be very tough to pry him away from.
I hate to say it. If you're going to get up to 80 or 90, they're going to want for him, I'd rather just pay the 100 and just get it done. But if you can scrap together 100, you have to pay it all at once. You can't break it up.
Now, I know it's hard to keep track of financial regulations nowadays, but in your opinion, your thought, just off the top of your dome, do you think Arsenal have the funds for a January investment, or you think this is something that may have to happen this summer?
I believe they do have funds for January investment because the window shifts and people drop off. I think Trossard and Jorginho finally fall off the books in January. So that phase of like 50, 60 million.
Yeah.
It's not enough to buy an Isak, but it's enough to get a good player if there's any available on the market that want to move.
Right.
That's the thing. You have to have a team that wants a move and a player that wants a move in the middle of January to go to frozen North London.
Gotcha. Just last thing on this Newcastle game. I do want to give credit to Eddie Howe. I have been critical of him, but the way he set up this team and the way they played through Ipswich was a perfect coaching performance. So well done to Newcastle. Into the next game here. We have some sort of derby, but there's really not a derby here. I know these teams don't like each other, at least from what I've seen on X, but West Ham at home drawing Brighton 1-1. Goals from Kudus and Weaver within 7 minutes of each other in the second half. Matt, I watched this game, and I don't know what it is, but I just don't like both of these teams with the way they're playing right now.
Brighton started out playing so good, and right. Now they just kind of look disjointed.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, Hertzler, I don't think this is on Hertzler either. You know, I think it's just more so due to the quality that they have, and I think he's demanding a lot from them. So I really feel like next season, if he's still in management, Brighton might be actually, you know, pretty scary. But
I feel West Ham, everyone, like, they're the new Leeds. Like, everyone hates them.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I mean, disrespect to Leeds fans, yeah. And if anyone's listening to this, which you guys haven't been in the league in a few years.
Leeds back in the day had a lot of rivalries with Manchester yeah. United and Chelsea, and those are, like, their two biggest rivals at the time. And I feel like here with West Ham, they're sort of in the middle of it all.
But, like, Arsenal don't like West Ham. Yeah. Tottenham, Chelsea, and now Brighton. Yeah. Don't like them. And then Millwall hates them too. Charlton Athletic hates them. Crystal Palace has no love on their heart for them. I think that's the closest thing they have to a London rivalry.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. I think the investment that they made sort of maybe have pushed it a little bit too.
I know Fulham fans don't like them because they disrupt their wine drinking at their stadium.
So we're about almost the end of the year with Lopetegui, the West Ham manager. Do you think it still should be the sacking time for him, or if he maybe gets them, you know, through the end of the season, they finish in 10th place, should they keep this manager?
So it depends on if you have a plan. Like if you say, we want to start wooing, I don't know, Thomas Frank. Hmm. You know Thomas Frank's not going to leave now. But you start laying the groundwork with him. You start negotiating with Brentford.
Showing the project. Yeah.
Building the project. Then I'd say, if you think that Lopetegui will get you to the end of the year and be in the Premier League, I'd stick with him. If you want a manager who does not in a job or one who really is like they can just leave in a heartbeat, then I'd say sack Lopetegui and bring him in. But if you have a real plan you want to build, I'd wait and see get your specific man.
I agree. Last thing on this for Lopetegui.
Depends on what they want to do.
For Lopetegui, I would love to see the front three of Kudus, Bowen in the center forward role, and Somerville. So any way you could figure that out, Lopetegui, I think it would really, really help West Ham and the quality they have in attack with Paqueta behind them. I don't know what it is with these managers and liking these strong, big number nines, especially when they are on the other side of 28. And I feel like not 28, sorry, 30, with a guy like Fulkrug, who is, I think, 33, 34, and then, unfortunately, with Antonio getting injured, but he was also getting up there in age as well. Try something different, guys. It doesn't hurt, especially when you're in 14th place. You have 22 points or 20 points in the table. Just try something new. That's all I'm asking.
Gotcha. Where are we heading next?
Into the last game of the Saturday slate, we have another pelting performance here. We have Palace at home losing to Arsenal 5-1. Matt, we don't talk midweek about these European games, but has Jesus since taken PEDs or anything that we should be knowing about?
I think he just got his groove back.
Yeah.
So let's put this in perspective, guys. Now, Arsenal scored all set piece goals in Crystal Palace.
I did not know that.
No, they didn't. Okay, making a joke.
Like, what?
I'm making fun of everyone.
Who's like Arsenal? Some of the highlights.
Yeah, Arsenal can't score a goal from open play.
Yeah.
But so they played them midweek in a 3-2 in which Eddie Nketiah celebrated. And so I kind of looked at this again, and I kind of like that he celebrated. I kind of want him to like
hate the team that he came from. Or
I don't think it's hate. I think it's him believing in himself. That's okay. What I choose to believe.
Yeah, but like, See, this is, I guess, sort of.
Yeah, because I think you Chelsea fans are a little bit more uptight about than other people because you have so many players come through your ranks.
Yeah. Well,
don't have that many players that leave.
Well, think about it like this, right? Is with Kai Havertz, and I think that's what you were getting at here, is.
No, but you guys have done it for other players too when they come back and celebrate.
For sure.
Or praise people who don't come back and celebrate. Like, it's a real thing to you guys because you have so much churn. You have so many more opportunities for it to happen,
here,
I think.
Here, that's very true, actually. Yeah. Like Mason Mount, you know, Kai Havertz.
If Emile Smith Rowe celebrated on at Fulham, I'd be like,
that's kind of fucked.
Yeah, I don't think so. Wait. Like, as long as it's not like degrading.
Yeah,
to
but
the
you guys,
fans.
You guys had a chant to him. You know what I'm saying, with him and Saka. Yeah. Like, those are like, I'd feel done dirty if a guy like ESR.
It just depends. If it's a quick one like Eddie did, I ain't got no issues.
Eddie's fine because I feel like he wasn't like your main striker. Yeah. You know, he felt like he was good enough to be the main striker, but you guys didn't give him that opportunity.
Yeah, like if we play Marseille, I don't even know if they're in the Champions League. We play him in the knockout rounds, and Aubameyang comes up to the fans and does the suck it symbol wearing a Triple H mask. I would take offense to that.
Yeah, he does. He does this signature front flip and then a flip yeah. off to you guys. Yeah. Give the bird.
Matt, well, let's get into this game. Yeah. So this game was 5-1. Two goals from Gabriel Jesus. He scored five goals in under 4 days against Crystal Palace.
Crazy.
And I believe we had one from Havertz, one from Martinelli. I forget who the fifth one was from. Oh, Declan Rice at the end there. Sar, though, man, that he pegged us back like right in between the Gabriel Jesus goals. I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, and I didn't know that Sar scored that, like, the first goal. Like,
oh, it was a banger, man.
And it, yeah, and he's been in crazy form,
too. It was against
too, which
the run of play. It was just... It was a good, like, counterattack
goal. Did that put a little bit of frightening in your heart when it was 1-1 after 12 minutes? Yeah.
Because, like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I had to sit through all these other games and just to get to my game. None of the games I really cared about. Even watching City lose now, it's just, like, it's not even phasing me anymore. Like, I don't know, man. It was one of those days where, have you ever just woke up and just wanted to watch your team play?
For sure, for sure. And, here's my question for
no
you.
No offense to any of the other teams that played.
We love watching football, guys. Don't worry. But some days you wake up a little bit on the
holidays right now. There's this thing.
Sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. You just want to watch your team play. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But here's my question. I asked my friend this, you know, after we get into the Liverpool game. Since City has dominated football and you guys over the last 2 years have been the closest team to challenge for the title, on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed would you be in Arsenal if it is not Arsenal winning the league and instead is somebody else like a Liverpool, a Chelsea, a United, Spurs, you know, a team that's just not Arsenal with you guys playing the way you have been?
So I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to be disappointed, but if Liverpool continues their pace they're on now, with the injuries we've had, if they don't suffer any major injuries, they got Alisson back and showed them yesterday. Liverpool's played the best team right now. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I would take a cup double of some kind. I don't think we, without Saka now, going to be out 8 weeks. If we can make it to the knockout rounds of the Champions League and get him back, I'd take a Champions League and a League Cup.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any... I look back, I don't think kids couldn't see that anyone's won a club treble before, a cup treble before.
That's true.
That'd
okay,
be
what about,
interesting.
What about this? Just no trophy at all. You go through the end of the season, 1 to 10.
In terms of disappointment, 10 being the highest?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, at this... Because we made it far in the League Cup. We did have that crappy draw in the FA Cup facing Manchester United. I probably put it at like an 8. And not like an angry 8, but just like sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm going to be disappointed because it's like... And then we're going to have to deal with all the memes of everyone like, oh, Slot didn't have to trust the process. Or Maresca didn't have to trust the process. But to be fair, like I said before, Slot walked into a Ferrari. And if you guys win it, I mean, that's just impressive on Maresca. Because he does inherit like a...
It's an expensive squad, but it's a projected talented squad.
How do I put it this way? It's like my uncle used to build kit cars. And it's like he inherited a kit car and he just was able to assemble it very quickly.
Yep.
So he didn't inherit a Ferrari. He just inherited a Ferrari they had to build.
Yeah, that's the great right way to put it. A bunch of young talents that will be good one day. But
no, they are good now.
Right, but like...
You just have a shit defense and a keeper.
But those are all guys under the age of 24. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is these players will come good. And that's the thing. We'll get to Chelsea in a little bit. But I'm going to also gargle Liverpool's nuts as well, unfortunately. And it pisses me off to say that. But my thing with Arsenal is... With the Saka injury, and if it is actually 2 months without him, I mean, you're basically having,
lost Sterling too. Sterling went out with a knee injury in the Carabao Cup.
So it's going to be tough to.
We have four forwards of our six now. So you can literally start it with Trossard on one side, Gabby on the other, and Kai Havertz up front, and Gabriel Jesus is the only fill in. Unless you throw in Nwari in there. Nwari.
Nwari.
Gabriel. Yeah, okay.
I know what you mean. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is if I'm an Arsenal fan, you could be disappointed, but it's, and this just comes back to what I was talking about, City. It's just so hard to win the league because everything has to go right for you, and it has to be literally a perfect run.
What could be hilarious is like you guys get winning it because like Liverpool fell apart last year, but I think what caused them to fall apart was Jurgen Klopp, I forgot his name there for a second, runs his teams into the ground and Slot doesn't.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk about with Liverpool. Right. So,
but credit, this is a great game. Arsenal scored two open play goals. It was a fun match to watch. But let's head into the Sundays. Are we heading to Chelsea Everton next?
Really quickly, sorry. One last question. I apologize.
No, you're good, man.
Would you have rather drawn that game and Saka stayed healthy or won that game and Saka gets injured? I'm so sorry for asking this question, but I have to. I got to ask the
tough
questions.
I would have rather drawn the game if that's the scenario, but I don't think that's the case. If you don't pop a hammy and it just, you don't play, it goes away. It would have popped the next game.
For sure. It was inevitable.
Or two games down the line, they may have pampered him a little bit, but like with the schedule we have, it was going to, if it's going to go, it's going to go.
Yeah. Fair enough. Into credits Arsenal, by the way, into the Sunday
slate. Just, it's just like the if Erling Haaland hadn't said stay humble, would City be running the league right now? You don't know.
You never know, man.
Yeah, you don't know. If Erling had said it, would the City still be in the state they're in? Because they still lost Rodri in that game.
Yeah, that's true. Some things are inevitable.
I mean, in your, this it's, is a magic, like a magician gives me a like, wish kind of thing.
That's like if you remember the Flash movie that bombed with Ezra Miller?
Yeah.
So have you seen it?
No.
Okay, then I'll wait.
Well, I got Max now, so I can't watch it. I'll check it out.
Honestly,
ruin it for me.
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. It bombed because I think Ezra Miller's the main character. But
well, I think it bombed because they also announced that Gunn was taking over and that it wasn't going to be continuity anymore.
Exactly, exactly. That too. But
Shazam and that were both basically said, hey, you can go see these movies. They don't care for shit.
Yeah. So with The Flash, in that there is like they go back in time and they fight
Zod.
Zod, right. So the thing is when they fight Zod, they keep losing to Zod and they keep trying to reverse and go back in time, but it's still inevitable. And I think even if you didn't tell him to stay humble, Erling Haaland, he would still unfortunately be in this position.
But then you wouldn't have the joke. It would just be they're bad.
Yeah, true.
All right. You ready for Everton-Chelsea?
Let's do it. Into the next game here, guys, of the Sunday slate. We have a 0-0 draw between Everton and Chelsea. This game is bittersweet for me. You know, I will say going to Goodison Park has always been tricky for Chelsea. I don't know why, but Pickford just turns it up a level, and it's just a tough place to play. And thankfully, this is the last time Chelsea will visit Goodison Park because Everton does have a new stadium next season. But this game was bittersweet because from what I've heard, you know, I couldn't really see it on the field until the ball was actually moving. The wind was horrible in this game. And from what I've seen, I don't know if this is just Everton fans trying to banter. I sent this to you, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they said these conditions were arguably worse than the Liverpool Everton game that was canceled.
I have to look into it, but it sounds like they're talking crap to Poole.
I agree. And there's even a Safari Wikipedia page about the storm itself during the Liverpool Everton game or when the game was supposed to be played. So definitely, I agree with you. But my point is I'm proud of my team because, one, with the mistakes they made in that game, they honestly may have lost, but we also had an opportunity to win. It's just a tough place to play.
And we don't know what... So their new ground that's under construction did flood Everton's ground during the Liverpool match.
Right.
That it was an unused stadium. We don't know if the roof was completed or what was going on, but there are videos of, like, people, construction guys just standing around watching the stadium, just rivers of water going through it.
Yeah.
So... We don't know, but...
Hopefully it was the last time Chelsea played at Goodison Park.
But this gives you hope, though, because guess who Everton's game in hand is?
Liverpool. But here's the thing, Matt. We'll wait until we gargle Liverpool's nuts, actually.
Okay.
But what I will say in this game, Moises Caicedo is still the best midfielder in the Prem this season. I don't know... they literally call fouls on Caicedo for his tackles, and then there's like a replay, and he just gets all ball, but because his... I don't know how he's able to his body the way he does when he makes these tackles. It's confusing. I feel like he should be tearing his Achilles or something, but they're clean tackles. So, Caicedo, you are my Lord and Savior. But yeah, it was honestly a very boring game, I will say, because it felt like Chelsea were just holding the ball. When Chelsea would try to create, Jordan Pickford stepped in and showed why he's England's number one.
So I wasn't joking when I said that. I don't think I've ever seen Jordan Pickford get a card and you were like, Jordan Pickford should have gotten a red or been sent off.
Oh, yeah, that should have been a penalty, yeah.
But I was just like, oh, come on. You know if they do that to Jordan Pickford, that ref ain't making it out. As soon as the whistle blows,
he's going to drink.
Mauling him.
Full sprint to half line.
He's going to chug a Red Bull in 99 minutes and just be like, let's go, man.
Oh, gosh. I agree. Into the next game here, guys. From one nil-nil draw to the next, we have Fulham at home.
Go to Man United.
We have Fulham.
Southampton.
Yes, nil-nil draw here. Matt, I wasn't able to see much of this game. Only thing I did see was it felt like Southampton actually played really well. They didn't do much offensively in the highlights.
I saw it. Yeah. It seemed like they got into some kind of groove. They were progressing the ball a lot forward. They're playing it out of the back. It actually worked and kind of stifled Fulham, who now become dry FC.
Who is the... Because I know they sacked their manager, the Southampton manager, because he walked out at like halftime. Or was it this game? Am I tripping? I
think they got rid of him last game.
Against Tottenham. Mm-hmm. That's right. I wonder who... I'm forgetting who the new coach is. Let me see. Oh, Ivan Juric. So I don't think he coached this game, but I think he watched. But hey, credit to him. Well, hopefully he is the answer for the Southampton fans, but I think it is inevitable at this point.
Are you going to go to Manchester United?
Matt, let me set the freaking stage for you right now. It's a cold, cold winter afternoon at Old Trafford. And all of a sudden, a Spanish conquistador, the Prince of Cherries, Irola, walks in the building and it immediately heats up. The fans go quiet. Nighttime is hot. No longer winter. Irola has walked in and dogged the Amorim arrival. 3-0 to Bournemouth at Old Trafford against United. Matt, I said this was my prediction last weekend.
I know.
It was half a troll, but I also saw a vision in my dreams of this guy doing this to him. And matter of fact, it came to fruition. What were your thoughts on this game?
I feel very bad for Amorim, man. He has taken L's, but I think they had to do this because I guarantee these results would have happened under Ten Hag.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag didn't look like he could take much more. It's just the team that it's built.
What I do say, what I will say about Amorim is after in the post-game presser, he's like, I expected this. You know, I told you guys that we are going to get worse before we get better, but I'm here for it, and I'm going to be here through the trenches. So I think it's cool to hear that. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to mention.
So we weren't friends when Arteta got appointed as manager of Arsenal yet. Right. And I remember during that time, I was talking to people online because we were in lockdown. You and me didn't become friends until September of the following year. And I remember everyone was just like, all the Arsenal fans like, yeah, I suppose it'll be okay. I don't expect anything until next season. And we won an FA Cup on it. And that's when the expectations were set. But when he came in, I don't remember anyone talking the amount of shit that Man United fans are talking about. Like, we got Roberto Amorim, we're gonna conquer the world.
That's something that's funny because like I saw like City are not gonna make top four. Someone tweeted that, and then it was quote tweeted by like six different United fans with pictures of like Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, and United going back to proper Barclays. And I'm just sitting there like, okay,
you guys are in 13th place.
And it's not even that. It's like your coach himself has said, you guys are not good yet. So why would you guys start buffing him up like this and setting yourself up for a letdown?
So I think it is. I think it's the success, because we see this in the United States with Dallas Cowboys. Completely different scenario because United have only been not actually, they haven't even been bad some of their 10 seasons since Ferguson, right?
They've been at the very least. Honestly, they've won two League Cups.
Yeah.
They've won an FA Cup.
And Europa League, right?
And a Europa League. So, not terrible. No, they did not win the Europa League.
I thought Mourinho won them the Europa League one year.
Mourinho did win them at Europa League.
Because he said he got
Zlatan.
In trouble. He won the Community Shield, the League Cup, and the Europa League. Yeah, everyone was like, yeah, you were in the worst treble ever.
That was the Zlatan team. You're right, yes.
Yeah.
So, again, not terrible, but for the standards, I guess you're correct.
But I think we see this in the United States with like the Dallas Cowboys, where every year Cowboys fans like, we're making the Super Bowl, and it's like,
and they every year they say they're getting better and better.
Like, what are you talking about, man? You have major problems in your team, and your owner hasn't fixed any of them on the field. Your quarterback hasn't done shit, and you bring him back again.
Well, and last season was like the perfect example for the Cowboys because they made the playoffs. They were facing the Packers, who were 9-8 last season, and they lose. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I have not watched since I have been alive. I know I've been, you guys, I've been alive since before your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were born. Yeah. But I was technically born in 2001. I have not seen the Cowboys win a playoff game since I have been legally technically born.
You are correct. That's what I mean. Because like it's been so the Cowboys have been bad longer than that. Right. I remember when they were good and they were America's team and they won 3 Super Bowls. Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. But they've been bad for like since the late 90s. And Man United's only been bad since the, 2013, I think was their last title?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's a completely different scenario, but you see the fans, they still, the Cowboys fans talk the most shit. They're the Cowboys fans, the ones who break TVs. I haven't seen a Man United fan break a TV, but I feel like it's coming.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, you made a perfect comparison between the Cowboys and the Manchester United because Cowboys can flex their 4 Super Bowl, 5 Super Bowls, and Manchester United likes to flex, their fans like to flex the Premier Leagues, the Champions League, which is fully true, but it hasn't happened since the early 2000s or the early 2010s since you won a Premier League title.
No, they won in 13.
Early 2010, sorry.
Oh, my bad.
No, you're good.
They said early 2000s. My apologies.
Yeah, my bad. But
I just didn't hear you correctly.
I gotcha. But in any form, I'm ready to talk about Bournemouth. This performance was outstanding. They completely neutralized anything that Amherst was trying to do.
Kluivert is the king of the penalties, man.
He's looking good. I'm liking it.
And Semenyo, was that the guy they brought in to replace the Archer?
That's Evan Nielsen. Semenyo was, we talked about him a lot last season as being a very good prospect. So
gotcha.
Another good performance. Into the last game of the slate here, guys. We have Tottenham 3, Liverpool 6. But, guys, it honestly felt more dominant than the 6.
We skipped Leicester Wolves.
My bad. Really quickly, Leicester Wolves. Wolves 3, Leicester 0. This was the debut of Pereira as the Wolves manager. Excuse me, I'm getting hiccups. This was dominant. It felt like when I watched parts, it did not feel dominant. The scoreline reflects dominance, but I felt like Van Nistelrooy had a little game to it.
Van Nistelrooy put up a good fight. Yeah. It's just that like if you flipped a coin, if it was just Dungeons and Dragons, and he rolled a dice, every single chance they had, he rolled under 10, and the new coach for Wolves rolled over 15.
Exactly.
Because like everything was going their way. It was like watching a dude at craps who just keeps rolling good, and there's one guy at the table that keeps putting the wrong bet in.
And this just comes down to clinicalness, right? I mean, Mateus Cunha has been crazy this season. It feels like every time he shoots the ball, it's a goal. I didn't notice anything particularly different with the way they played versus with what Gary O'Neill had. So maybe it's just a little bit of a small, slower type of transition to what Pereira may be wanting to deploy. But comfortable win for Wolves. Credit to them on getting to 3 wins on the season, now tied on wins with Leicester.
This is the perfect game for him to come into.
Yeah.
Because it was the new manager bounced Derby.
But it was that's true. But it was also a big game to come into at the same time for relegation purposes. So huge win for the Wolves. We good for the Sunday now?
Yeah. You ready to go to Liverpool Spurs?
Let's do it. So into the last game of the slate, we have Southampton 6. Sorry. I don't know where the hell that
Liverpool
came from.
Liverpool 6.
Liverpool. Sorry, I was thinking of the Liverpool B team. Liverpool 6, Spurs 3. But man, this felt more dominant than a 6-3 win. Matt, I watched this game for the most part until I had to leave my house. But let's hear your thoughts first.
So I tried to create a narrative. So Reese had to go to a family function at halftime. And I was creating this narrative of Ange was on doing dark magic on the sidelines. But he kind of was. Just Slot was out white magicking him. It looked like the Lord of the Rings where Gandalf fights the thing on the bridge, the Balrog.
Yeah.
And like, I hate to say it, Ange was the Balrog. And Slot was just whatever he threw at him, he was just like, you shall not pass. Just kept slamming his staff down. Whenever they were, so they went up, I forget it, I think it was like 3-0 at one point.
It was 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. And then we go into the second half, and it looked like Spurs could do the comeback, but every time they score a goal, Liverpool would score to keep the 2-1 goal ratio alive.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I was talking to my girlfriend because I was sort of watching all the highlights again this morning because I like to do that before our podcast, yeah, just to get a refresher, you know, on all the games. And I was telling her, like, babe, like, she knows how much
you missed one of the games of the season, the last half.
Yeah, fortunately. But I was like, I hate to say this. She knows how much I hate Liverpool. Like, she knows that I hate, yeah, Liverpool with all of my heart.
Well, I don't hate them with all my heart, but I just like them.
I hate Liverpool with all of my heart as a Chelsea fan. Mm-hmm. As a podcaster, I'm loving the way Liverpool is playing right now. But I was telling her, I was like,
yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like,
well, and here's the thing. She's like, what makes them so good versus last season? I'm thinking, like, they didn't make very many adjustments. But what it was is, as we talked about at the beginning of the season, it's similar to what Klopp had, but it's more controlled chaos. And it works so good in this team, man.
What I've noticed is, so if we rate what Jurgen had his players do in terms of physical exertion on the field, yeah, as a 10, Slot dialed it down to an 8.
Which is still like a 10 for most teams in, yeah, the league, but this was the most perfect adjustment that a coach that I've seen make to a team since I've been watching football.
So back to the references of him inheriting the car, Ford, and Fresca, yep, having to build the car.
Yep.
He has a car that's running high on RPMs, and he kind of just tweaked it to be a little bit
more luxury.
Not even more luxury, just the engine to run a little bit more solid.
Smooth, yeah.
It gives him a little bit less power, but it's a general, brings it, you have more control overall.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's what, because he inherited a high performance automobile and now he's driving it like a regular car and it's doing real good business for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say this now. I could be wrong towards the end of the season, but Matt, I'll be honest. I think they win this league comfortably. I don't think there is a title race.
I don't think they'll burn out. I think there is a title race in between you guys because you guys still play them.
That's true. But
and they still have to play Everton, which could be 6 points in the, and you guys are within a 5-point range of them, right?
Yes. I think it's,
I think Arsenal's done. But with no Saka. But if we still had Saka, I think we could catch up, but
right,
and make it a fight. But yeah,
and the reason I'm saying Chelsea, and I know there's been a long-standing joke, Chelsea not in the title race, ha ha ha. Chelsea were probably in the title race for about a week for me, but I don't think they're in the title race now because I think Liverpool is going to. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll let you cook up. Jordan Sancho celebrated something a while back. Jadon Sancho. Yeah. And even though your players and your coach are saying you're not in a title race, Jadon Sancho made it very clear that he thinks you guys are in a title race.
That's very true, yeah.
And because he was basically like, you know, Arsenal, Liverpool, they can't do shit, blah, blah, like, give it a, like, things in a celebration. I had to, like, have a Gen Z translator translate it for him because I didn't understand what was going on.
Just come to me, man. I know all the generations, actually.
But it was just like, you guys, I think, are still the only team. If there's a team that can catch them, it's you. And I think you have to count on Everton getting that game in hand down to 1 point, and then you beat them. Because here's the thing. You play them after Arsenal.
Yeah.
We may be back at full strength. We may not matter, but I know that Arteta's going to want them to win.
For sure.
We play them, and then if they're still in the Champions League, they have a Champions League game, and then they play you.
Right. And the reason I don't think their gas is going to run out, I think Liverpool are going to have over 90 points. I don't think Chelsea are going to do that. And I think you guys will see with Chelsea over the next 2-3 weeks. They play Fulham. I'm a little bit reserved about my prediction with Fulham. They play Bournemouth next month. They have City at the end of next month. I know City isn't like what they used to be, but I'm telling you guys, this is the type of game for City to definitely beat Chelsea in. I just don't feel like, I feel like the way Liverpool are playing right now, not only are they the best team in the league, I think they're the best team in the world right now.
So, on City, if City is able to get some kind of new midfielder into their team, they can even replicate a little bit of what Rodri can do.
Just something to spice this team up a little bit.
But here's the thing, if they don't do any new shifts in the market, I think that they already know that something bad's happening to them in the court case.
Yeah.
If they don't spend any money, because they're a team that has money, they have, even in the financial fair play, you know,
they haven't, and
because they have that $90 million cushion they got from the sale of Alvarez, and they didn't hardly use anything in the summer.
They've made the Champions League for a decade straight. They've won the league for the last 4 years. They are chilling on a mountain of money.
I don't know what players out there, but if any team can show up to like a team in like the fourth best team in Spain and go, we want that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Zubimendi, I'm just going to use him as an example. I don't think Zubimendi is what they need.
Just an example.
But just like, they're the one team that can show up and be like, Zubimendi, you're coming with us. And
it's like the Gyorkis thing. Like, there's no release clause with City. They'll just pay you what you're asking for, is what
they'll
is
pay.
What,
yeah. If you say, like, if there was no release clause for Gyokeres, they could go up to them and go, oh, you want 100? We'll give you 110.
Yeah.
Just no muss, no fuss. We're done here? Okay, cool. Come on, kid. Get in the bus. We'll negotiate your contract on the plane back.
Well, that's like when they sold Alvarez. They did. It came out of nowhere when they sold Alvarez to Atletico, and they and then ensuing got Savio. Alvarez may be a huge reason as to why City aren't succeeding this season. Who knows? But
that's what I was thinking.
They do all their stuff under the table. It comes out of nowhere because they don't negotiate. If they get their asking price, if they'll pay your asking price. They do not handle negotiations that extensively.
Yeah, because like the thing with Arsenal with that year where they sold double to them, it literally was just like, we want this. Arsenal's like, here's the terms. And they're like, yeah, I guess, whatever. You want to pay over 4 years, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, put them in the bus. Let's go.
My last thought on this Liverpool team is I'm just...
But let's go into this game for a second here. This game was amazing. James Maddison saved them from... looked like they were imploding.
What a performance, yeah. Kulusevski, another great performance as well.
And then that Dominic Solanke goal, like, to give Tottenham credit, I thought they were going to lose, but...
It's been a while. Let's say his name properly. Not the Robin Hood stock lending prices. Not Cameron Archer from Southampton. Not the Archer from Archer. He is the Archer, Dominic Solanke. We miss you, sir.
Arrow.
Arrow from Arrow. Green Arrow from Arrow.
It has been a minute since you did it.
Shout out to James Gunn.
No, not the little fox from the animated cartoon show.
Alrighty, Matt.
But honestly, man, my favorite of the goals of the game, one for Spurs, was the Maddison goal. Everyone in the stadium thought, every Liverpool fan thought it was a foul.
Yeah.
From Kulusevski, I think, and he just took that ball and just got it in there. It was beautiful. I loved his celebration because it was actually earned.
Yeah.
But then Szoboszlai's goal.
You could see the emotion after you scored too.
Dominic Szoboszlai's goal was beautiful too, to open up 45+1. Yeah, I mean, sorry, this ended the embers of stoppage time. It was such a clean goal. I loved it.
The first goal for me was sort of the tone setter with that Luis Diaz header from the cross from Alexander Arnold, just pitch perfect. Man, I, the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, damn, dude, this Liverpool. Yeah, sometimes, guys, you just have to put you got to take your hat off, you got to take your shirt off, you got to take your pants off, and just say, this team's fucking good. Like, they're just fucking good.
Well, even when they aren't good,
they find a way.
Sorry, they've been good, but they've also been extremely lucky. Like, they face City, Real Madrid, and Arsenal literally at their weakest.
Yeah.
Now, because, like, we literally had a game where we didn't get to play Saliba and Gabriel. Because, like, Saliba was out on, like, red cards, yellows or something. And it was just one of those things where it's like, you just take those three games, and those could have been games that were really a toss-up, and they weren't a toss-up at all.
Yeah, the only team that I could see in a one-off game really beating Liverpool is Arsenal. I don't think Chelsea still has, like, the experience.
I'm saying if Arsenal had Saliba, I think they would have won that game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm sort of getting at, too, is, like, it. I don't think there's any other team in the league right now that can go in a 90-minute match and walk out with 3 points against this Liverpool team. You may be able to escape a draw like what you guys did. Mm-hmm. Did you guys draw them?
Yeah, we drew them.
Yeah, and what Fulham did, but that was with Liverpool down to 10 men. Or, sorry, Fulham, but they were down to 10 men. Matt, after that Fulham game, I really think we're looking at a great team, man.
Let me ask you this. So I don't know the new Champions League format as well as I do the old format. I don't know how the draw comes up. If they go into the final round of 16, if it's you don't play your country until you make it.
Yeah, that's still the thing. Yeah,
I would love to see a Liverpool-Arsenal Champions League final.
That'd be fun.
It would be like a weird, like they would have like a...
It would be better than the Liverpool-Spurs final that happened a couple years ago. I'll tell you that.
So they've had three, if they do this, they have three finals in the span of like 10 years against teams. Real Madrid. And then they have the North London set. I just think it would be fun because, like, I was rooting for Poole when they were playing Spurs.
I think everybody was, man. And I think that's why that game didn't have much passion. It looked like in it. There wasn't much to it.
No, and I was watching with Spurs fans. Even they thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, it's just... Spurs, I feel for you guys.
My final, I want to say,
I didn't cheer when they lost either. I was disrespectful of a person I worked with and his family who were all South African Tottenham fans. And they're like, I'll bet you're beaming inside. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to let you see it.
My thing is, like, I feel like if you're a manager and you go in pregame halftime, you just kind of have to say, like, we know Liverpool are going to score. How do we respond? How do we punch them in the face? Can we punch them first before they punch us back? And if we punch them first, punch them again. It's just, I don't know what type of talk you have against this style of team. And if they're not having any injuries the rest of the season, I think they can get up to 90, 95 points. And I don't think Chelsea or right now Arsenal without Saka can get up there. So I think it's going to be comfortable as of right
now.
Here's
the thing, though. When we play them, we will have Saka back. Yeah. Unless he has a horrible setback in training.
But that's just assuming that in 17 games, like, the title is still up for grabs for either Arsenal or Chelsea.
I don't think Arsenal will win the title. But I'm just saying, like, I think it'll be a point of pride that Arteta last year didn't lose a big six match. And I think that's still a point of pride. And I think that if we get Saka back, I think we will give them a game in May.
Fair.
And if you're anywhere close, you're going to be hoping that Arsenal gives them a game in May. Yeah. But let's get into the previews for next week, because I do have a preview, an engagement after this. We got to get here in 30 minutes. But let's go through this. We'll just do the boxing game scores, and then we'll preview everything else after that.
Yes, sir.
And then on the weekends one.
Let's do it.
So, all right, we start out at 5:30 a.m. Phoenix time on Boxing Day. So we're not going to have time for stoppage time, but there's something I wanted to get off my chest. Me and my dad were discussing this. We hate that they moved some of the games to Friday. It's been a couple years now.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it.
We started watching the Premier League when all the games were... So there was two games of the year where every game would be on at
same
one
time.
No,
same day.
Well,
same
these
day.
Weren't the same day. They were... Or same time. They were the same day.
Yeah.
They had it broken out like a normal day. But it was just like, you knew on Boxing Day you could watch three great games. There was the early game, the mid game, and the late game.
Yep.
Now it's like they move them to Friday. It throws off the schedule. I don't like it.
And again, it's back to, like, should we have a break in the winter? You guys aren't even doing the games on Boxing Day. It's not on Christmas anymore. You didn't make them on Christmas. You made them on the 26th, the 27th, and then right into the 28th, 29th, and 30th are the rest of those games for the game week. So I'm just a little bit confused, Premier League. Maybe give these guys a break, because literally all these injuries are happening and you guys are just continuing to let it happen. Like, you have two fucking superstars in Saka and Rodri out for multiple months. Maybe you should take a look at yourselves, along with the terrible refereeing that you guys have done. Matt, I'm really starting to think this whole thing is just corrupt at this point. And not the players' injuries, but the refereeing portion. The decision, there was a red card in the Brighton-West Ham game that was not given. I think it was, I don't want to be wrong. Someone was done dirty in this past game week, and it was a terrible, should have been a red card. They gave him a yellow. It was a cleat right to the shin. Most obvious red I've ever seen is still yellow. So, sorry, get back to your point.
I lived in Hawaii, I did some assistant coaching on a soccer team, and I got to talk to some of the refs that do it, and they would tell me, I know this is just AYSO kids soccer, but they said the most important thing to them is player safety over getting the calls correct about offsides and stuff.
Yep.
If it's something where somebody's going to get hurt, they want to make sure that player gets punished correctly.
Yep.
I think the PGML is doing the opposite. Like, they don't care about player wellness. They just care about, I don't know what it is. But,
money, brother. It's all about money. It's crazy.
All right. So back to the games here. Just had to get that off my chest, seeing that I know they're Friday games.
I'm happy you got it off your chest, because it lit a little fire in me, Matt. Let's get into the previews. Let's get to it.
Okay. Everton travel to Manchester.
Dude, you know what's crazy?
Everton's going to win this one.
Stone Cold Dutch walking into a poor form city, dude.
So here's my prediction.
Broad shoulders. Sorry, go ahead.
Everton 1, Manchester City 0. Everton has under 20% possession in the game. Two shots, one on goal. It's going to be the goal. And I'm trying to think of the other stat. It's going to be 1,000 passes to under 200. It's going to be like 181 passes by Everton.
That I'm going to slightly agree with you, but I will go a 1-1 draw. I think City score. I think Everton score, but I think it's battle to a draw. And I think they keep their draw streak alive, Everton. To keep it here.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Aston Villa traveling. This is the 8 a.m. games, traveling to Newcastle.
This is a fun game.
I honestly think Newcastle is going to win this 2-1.
Yeah, I think the midfield problem with Villa is still persistent. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw, and I think Duran scores them both for Aston Villa.
and Isaac and Harvey Barnes for the other two.
Okay. All right, next up we have Tottenham traveling to Nottingham to face Forest.
Huge game. Forest might be in a title race with this win. if they get past Spurs, you really could argue that they're in a title race. But I am going to go with Spurs here. I think they're too much attacking prowess, and I'm going to go with a 3-2 banger to Spurs.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you on that, because watching this Tottenham team, they just look like they're just, I don't know how to describe it. Like, Ange has a ship that has a bunch of holes in it, and he's patched it up with little kids.
Yeah. Bergvall, Archie Gray, Jed Spence are some of the kids that he's using. Yeah.
I agree. I think a 3-2 or a 4-3, gotcha. Something along those lines.
But to be fair, Tottenham have conceded over 3 goals in like each of their last Tottenham's, 4 games. So I could see that too. Honestly.
Tottenham's going to win, but it's going to be a hard win for them.
For sure.
All right. Next up, we have Crystal Palace traveling to the Cherry Prince, traveling down south.
You don't want to see this man at his home right now. But when an immovable force meets an immovable object, or whatever the term is, it's a Glasnier hello. It's an eye roll a goodbye. Give me the Bournemouth Cherries. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win.
I'm opposite. I'm going for Kalen, the Super Eagles. I think that he's going to get cocky, and they're going to win 3-1.
The Prince never gets cocky. He gets complacent. I could see that. What's the next game for us?
Fulham, Chelsea. Fulham travel like the mile to Stamford Bridge. Yeah. 8 a.m. Thursday still. What you got in this? A proper East London derby.
Fulham has yet to lose this month. I'm going to stick with that. I think it's a 1-1 draw.
So this is where you think your title race collapses?
And the reason for that is because Fulham drawed Liverpool. They've drawn Arsenal this month. They beat the brakes out of Brighton, and they draw Tottenham. Marco Silva's a good coach, man, and I don't think this Chelsea team is experienced enough yet to overcome that sort of tactical prowess from a different coach. Enzo Maresca, I fully believe, can coach a win here. And I don't believe in these players.
Also, this is one of the games that Fulham fans will really get into. Exactly. Because this is their North London derby.
Exactly.
They proper hate you guys because of the original owner of Chelsea wanted to buy Fulham. The owner at the time said no.
It was actually Spurs, not Fulham.
Oh, my bad.
He looked at the Spurs stadium. He was driving to a Spurs meeting. Were you talking about Roman?
No. I'm talking about the original. Back in 1903.
Gotcha.
You guys were founded.
Gotcha. Okay, my bad.
Oh, thank God Roman didn't buy Spurs.
So you want to really quickly on the story with that, since we got a little bit of time. Roman driving to a Spurs meeting to buy Spurs. And then he looks at a little stadium over there. Literally a little stadium of Stamford Bridge. He's like, huh, why can't I buy that one? It's like, that's Chelsea Football Club. I want that one. And they drove and went and bought Chelsea. That's literally the story.
Dang.
Yeah. But what's the next game for us, Matt? Oh, wait. What did you have in this game?
I think that Chelsea's going to win this 2-0.
Okay. Gotcha. I appreciate you for that.
I always have more faith in your team than you do. And you have more faith in my team than I do.
We're good friends, man.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I agree. And West Ham goes to Southampton. What do you got on this one?
This is
I think
Lopetegui
is going to get a win. It's going to be a gritty, like 1-0 or 2-0 win, but I think that they're going to win it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be pretty. I'm going to go with a 1-0 West Ham win.
Or this could be the game that the new coach of Southampton outcoaches Lopetegui and they fire him. I think there's a universe where that happens.
For sure. Hey, new manager bounce is a real thing. I don't care what anybody says.
All right, now we have Manchester United travel to Birmingham to face Wolverhampton Wanderers. Guys, I know Wolverhampton is its own town, but it's in the Birmingham metro area.
That was a Matthew Lloyd quote, not a Reese Alcoba quote. What I will say here, Matt, I think United win this game only because Amorim is Portuguese. And you know what? Half that fucking Wolves team is Portuguese. The manager's Portuguese. The owner's Portuguese. Jorge Mendes, who's the agent of half the players that are Portuguese, is also Portuguese. Give me Amorim's arrival 2-0 to the United.
I think Wolves are going to win this 3-2.
3-2. I could see it.
All right. Next up, we have Leicester City traveling to Anfield to face Liverpool, the 1 p.m. game.
Matt, there's Nottingham Forest, Tottenham on, Newcastle Villa on. Man United Wolves is a good game. Man City Everton's a good game. These are all better games than the 1 p.m. game. I'm sorry. Liverpool 4-0.
I agree.
Make better games later in the day, Premier League.
Let's
please.
Get in the next game, 12:30 on Friday.
Let's hear it.
Brentford versus Brighton is better than Liverpool versus Leicester.
That's what I'm saying, dude. It's crazy. This could be a fun game, man. I'm going to go with the Thomas Frank on this one. I think he's too experienced for Herzler's side. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Brentford win.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Brentford win.
I can see it, man.
All right, now we come into the Lloyd Derby. Ipswich Town travel to Arsenal.
The Lloyd Derby. I forgot, man. I'm going to give love to some Mama Lloyd. Ipswich 7, Arsenal 1. No, I'm just kidding. I will take Arsenal 2-0 here.
So my dad says he has to remain neutral in this game because this is two teams, and me and Bob are standing on opposite sides. But I think it's going to – I see two scenarios. Both of them are an Arsenal win. It's going to be a 1-0 win, or it's going to be a 5-1 win.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be with the Lloyd family on Friday?
I'm not. I have to work.
Okay. Darn.
Now, for the game that comes up on New Year's Day, I'm going to go visit my folks to watch this game.
Fair enough.
But that'll be Brentford-Arsenal on Wednesday, January 1st.
Gotcha.
That we'll cover over the weekend.
Guys, that wraps up our reviews, previews of the game weeks ahead. We will see you guys some point this weekend. If not early next week, we will discuss that amongst ourselves. But we will keep you guys updated as we always do and pop out with a nice little podcast for your day. Special episode. Matt, close us out, my friend.
Live long and watch some football, lads.